Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on miracle foods, cures from the Bible, right after this. You know, Americans today are interrogated, watched, measured, and counted more than at any time in our history. Surveillance and electronic record keeping of nearly every routine activity from bank deposits to medical visits has produced greater efficiency and security, all right, but it's also responsible for a very discernible erosion of our ability to live our lives free from outside scrutiny. The federal government currently maintains an average of 15 files on every American, according to estimates by the Office of Management and Budget. And closer to home, state and local governments use computers to keep their own files on us. Now, a study conducted by the New York Committee on Open Government found that that state, New York, and its agencies operated 1,776 separate data systems containing 10,799 categories of information about New York residents. And every one of those systems contained between 2 and 10 million records. Now, all of this information about us is gained from 63 sources, and this information is gathered and it's stored in a very reasoned and logical manner for later retrieval and use. Now, would you like to know how the government, how the banks, the insurance companies, and industry obtains all of this information about you? What are their sources? How is it stored? How is it retrieved? What do they want it for anyway? It's knowing how this information is gathered and what information is stored and then what information you want to keep personal and private that actually puts you in the driver's seat in your quest for privacy. Now, if you'd like more information about privacy and privacy issues, just call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Be sure to ask for my free general law CD package while you're at it, and then let me tell you how to train yourself to be just as personal and private as you want to be. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. And you can call again, the number 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our webpage, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and then send an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. Hey, we've been talking about this thing of miracle foods. Foods. The kind of stuff that you buy down here at Piggly Wiggly or Circle K or 7-Eleven or Shucks, maybe even in Safeway or Kroger's. Foods that are available over the counter. You don't have to have a prescription. And they will do as much as or better than the drugs and chemicals that you're buying down at the local Rexall store. A book put out called Miracle Foods, Cures from the Bible by Reese Dubin. We're reviewing the book put out by Prentice Hall Publishing Company. That name again, Miracle Food, Cures from the Bible. The author is Reese Dubin. It brings us up to an unusual vegetable, one that's really kind of nasty. I don't care much for it, but it's called celery. Celery. My granddad used to put peanut butter on that celery and just munch it and crunch it, and I don't like the taste of it. I like peanut butter, but not on celery. Now, my granddad didn't know what celery had in it. I think he just liked the taste of it. Most people, when they eat for taste. They're just concerned about how good does this stuff taste. So food makers, they make food that tastes good. It's got a lot of salt, it's got a lot of sugar, it's got a lot of fat, slips right down. And if there's any taste, you know, like smoke, you know, we like smoked taste. And we like jerky, and so we have all these various flavorings that you can put on jerky, you know, that helps to kind of conceal the sodium nitrite and sodium nitrate, a couple of deadly poisons that we use to keep this food product from spoiling. Spoilage is always a problem with food, and so we like to put in all kinds of additives. And then appearance, you know, comes into play, and so we like to use red food dye number 7 or yellow dye number 9. And these are coal tar additives, and we put all this concoction together, and we call these snack foods. They're handy. They're already cooked. There's no preparation. Just open the bag. They're fresh, crispy, crunchy. They taste great. Unfortunately, that's the good side. Unfortunately, now the downside is they don't have any nutritional value. They've got calories, they taste good, they make us fat, but they don't nourish our bodies. And because we don't get the minerals, the snack foods filled with sugar and salt don't satisfy. And they're not designed to satisfy. They're designed to make you keep eating and eating and eating and eating. The objective of fast foods and the objective of snack foods isn't to fill you up and to satisfy your hunger. It's to sell snack foods. And the purpose behind medicine isn't to cure you of your disease. It's to treat you forever. It's to turn you into a cash cow. So people who are addicted to snack foods, you know, like Hostess ding-dongs and Twinkies. And do you know what the shelf life of a ding-dong is? 65 years. 65-year shelf life for a ding-dong. I don't know about some of the other products that are out there, but hey, listen, they've got chemicals and additives that they can put into this stuff, and they can just put it on the shelf and keep it indefinitely. Now, we eat that stuff, and then we get symptoms, and these symptoms then make us feel bad, so we go to the doctor. Doctors and drugs cost a lot of money. But you know, people have been eating snack foods, they've been eating poor foods, they've been eating nutritionally deficient foods for thousands of years. And when we go back to the mummies in Egypt and we do CAT scans on them and autopsies today, we can identify many of the diseases that we suffer from in 2006 are the same diseases that these people were suffering 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. So what have people been doing about diabetes over the last 4,000 years and pneumonia and the various and sundry debilitating diseases that we have today? Was there a solution? And so we've been seeing from this miracle food cures from the Bible that yes, indeed. These foods were known in biblical times. They've been written up in the Bible, sometimes used as medicines and sometimes just used as food. And in great quantity, you know, you can take a quantity of a vegetable, like my wife juices carrots to get the vitamin A. She juices carrots and then she drinks a glass of carrot juice every day. Now, a glass of carrot juice comes from 2 pounds of carrots. Now, my wife could not eat 2 pounds of carrots a day. But she can drink 1 8-ounce or 12-ounce glass of carrot juice, which has all of the nutritive values of all of the vitamins and minerals that are in the 2 pounds of carrots. And so we use a juicer in order to double, quadruple, or sextuple the amount of vitamin A or the amount of nutrients that we want to receiver we want to get out of a particular food. Well, celery happens to have some nutrients that we want, and they cure diseases. Now listen to this. One of the Passover foods, one of the bitter herbs, is called celery, and it can be substituted for parsley. Celery is a member of the parsley family, and it's mentioned in the Talmud in 39 books of the Bible commentary, dating from the first century as a remedy for infections and tumors. Celery's most famous use, however, is as a remedy for gout, G-O-U-T. Now, gout is a protein poisoning. When you eat too much protein in too short a period of time, your ankles will swell and you'll get ankle and joint pain. And it really feels bad. Now, celery isn't the only herb that'll cure gout. We keep cherry juice here just for that very purpose. No, just in case you overeat, You eat too much meat, get too much protein, then you can go to the cherry juice and you can cure the gout. But hey, listen, there's another one here called celery. It does the same thing. Celery neutralizes uric acid in your body. The immediate cause of gout is an excessive accumulation of uric acid in your joints from eating too many sweet or starchy foods or too much protein. Uric acid forms hard crystals in the joints and causes excruciating pain. So what we're trying to do here is to melt these uric acid crystals out of your joints. We need something that goes in and dissolves them. We need a solvent. Well, you know, think about it pragmatically. You're out changing the wheel bearings in your car, on your wheels, and you get grease on your hands. And it's pretty heavy-duty, sticky, heavy grease, maybe, you know. And so you go over and you get some gasoline, pour that on your hands, and wash them off. The gasoline acts as a cutting effect, or it has a lubricating effect, and it dissolves that grease. Well, the same thing is occurring here in your body when you take certain herbs. It will dissolve these uric crystals. It'll dissolve those gallstones or those kidney stones. Isn't that just surprising? Now, going on, the pain hits suddenly, almost always in the big toe, wrist, ankle, or thumbs, and the skin becomes shiny, red, or purple, swollen with excruciating pain to the touch. And unlike arthritis, where the pain is deep and aching, in gout, the pain is sharp and agonizing, and there may be fever or chills with a rapid pulse. Attacks can last 4 or more days, increasing in frequency. When these uric acid crystals collect in the kidneys, serious kidney damage can follow. Excess spillage of uric acid into the urine may produce kidney stones. Celery seed is hypouremic. It lowers uric acid. Plus, it contains about 20 different anti-inflammatory agents. Celery seed tea may be prepared by placing 1 to 2 teaspoons of freshly crushed seeds into a cup of boiling water. Steep for about 20 minutes, strain, sweeten to taste. The dose is 1 cupful 3 times a day, and it may also be taken in the form of celery seed extract tablets 4 a day. For some people, this works just as well as standard medicine, such as Xyloprim, sodium bicarbonate, and some others here that I can't even pronounce, without any side effects, by the way. Now, this colchicine, C-O-L-C-H-I-C-I-N-E, colchicine, or cine, for example, was discovered by some unknown Egyptian genius around 500 B.C. and has been in steady use ever since. No one knows why it works, but it does, and it brings quick relief. But it's very strong medicine, and it can cause nausea, vomiting, and other side effects. Now, here's a couple of reported cases. Mrs. F.T. says that since I started drinking celery seed tea daily and adding fresh celery to my meals, I have no more rheumatism. And thank God I no longer suffer attacks of gout in my right toe, which used to send me into terrible spasms of pain. And I hope you'll pass the good word along to others. I'm so glad I found out about celery seed tea, says Mrs. W.M. It is the only thing that took away the awful bursitis pain I had in my shoulder, and I brought back the movement. I drank the tea faithfully every day and followed a very light diet. Celery seed also contains a diuretic substance that causes pounds of excess water to drain away. It has been used for weight loss and weight control and to relieve high blood pressure and congestive heart failure. Celery seed stimulates uterine contractions and has been used by some women to bring on their periods or to relieve the bloated feeling caused by premenstrual fluid retention. It has lowered blood sugar levels and diabetes. Sciatic pain relief. Sciatic is a painful inflammation of the sciatic nerve, which runs down the back of your thigh and leg. For relief, my mother drank strong celery seed tea before each meal. For many people, this actually clears up the condition. Celery seed tea can be purchased at your local health food store. but celery seeds are available right off the spice rack at your local supermarket. And you can also get them by allowing garden celery to grow until it flowers. Then there's facial neuralgia pain. A friend of mine told me that she was completely relieved of her facial neuralgia by drinking fresh celery juice. I asked if I could borrow her juicer as I wanted to see if celery juice would help my painful neuritis attacks, which I suffer almost every winter. So I drank 2 pints of the juice daily, and by the end of the week the pain was gone. And I kept drinking the juice for 3 more weeks to make sure the pain would not return. That was about 5 years ago. I bought my own juicer now, and whenever I feel even the slightest twinges of pain, I immediately start drinking celery juice, and the neuritis attack doesn't even happen, says Mrs. L.S. Did you notice that the quantity is a pint a day? All right, let me give you a couple of pointers. We buy carrots here in 50-pound square bundles. Comes a like a brick of carrots, 50 pounds. And we try to get organic carrots if possible. Now, organic carrots cost us in the neighborhood of 35 to 50 cents a pound. Carrots in the store cost 5 to 10 cents a pound. So we are paying approximately 5 times as much money for organic carrots. Now, it's important for you to understand that your juicer and the juice you drink and the quantities and the amounts that you drink actually do the job. Oftentimes people will say to me, well, I tried that. I got a can of celery juice and I drank it and it didn't do a thing. Or I got a can of V8 and I drank the whole can of V8 and I still feel just as bad as I always did. Well, first of all, any time that this juice has been cooked, if it's been canned, it's been cooked. It's been heated to the boiling point. There are no enzymes left in this stuff. It's just foodless food. It's a snack food, tastes good. Probably has a lot of, you know, salt in it, and it really is really pretty good. But as a curing agent, it's useless. Just useless. And another thing is that people think that if they eat the parsley off of their plate, you know, at the restaurant, that ought to do it. No. Did you get the numbers here? let me do this one for you again. I drank 2 pints of the juice daily. 2 pints. That's a quart of celery juice a day. Boys and girls, you're going to be buying celery by the case. And there's about, probably 15 to 20 pounds of celery in a case. You will be buying this case, and it'll take you about 2 or 3, let's see, a quart is probably going to take you around 5 pounds of celery to make a quart of juice. 5 pounds of celery. That means that a case of celery is going to last you about 4 days, and you're going to drink this every day, and you're going to do this for 3 weeks. See how much that is. It's 21 quarts. 21 divided by 4, that's about 5 gallons. You're going to drink 5 gallons of celery juice over the next 3 to 4 weeks, and you're going to get about a quart out of 5 pounds. You know, so you're going to be buying several cases of celery and then juicing it to get the juice to get the desired results. Now, cost-wise, you know, let's just figure this out. Let's suppose, you know, You've got gout, and you go to the doctor. I told you my gout story, remember? I actually had gout, and I thought that I'd hurt my ankle, and I jumped off the back of the truck, and I went to the doctor. I paid the guy $75 to get 2 x-rays. I got the 2 x-rays, came back home. He gave me a prescription for a pain medication. Hell, I don't need a pain medication. Something's causing the pain. I got to get rid of the pain. As it turns out, it was uric acid crystals in my ankle. I came home. My wife had already told me that it was uric acid, that it was gout. But because of the coincidence of having jumped off the back of the truck, which happened to trigger the pain, I thought that it was a broken, cracked, fractured, sprained ankle. Now, I paid $75. Let's see what the celery is going to cost if we pay, oh, around 50 cents a pound for it. So let's take a 20-pound box times 0.50. That's $10 a case, and you're going to get about 20 pounds. 5 pounds will do a quart, so you're going to get a gallon out of a case. And what we need is 5 gallons. So for $50 worth of celery over a period of about 2 to 3 weeks, less money than I spent going to the doctor to have the guy diagnose me, and he didn't even know I had gout. He never came up with the word gout. It never entered his mind. All he could do is say, well, you've got this strange pain in your ankle. I don't know what causes it, but it's not broken. He looked at the x-rays. He could read x-rays. He said, well, you don't have a broken ankle. I said, well, thank you. How about sprain? No, it's not sprained either. All right, so what's the problem? It's gout. And if you want to cure it, you need celery, or you need you can use a juice that's already made. Now, I used cherry juice. And the cherry juice has got even though it's cooked, you can use the bottled cherry juice, but not celery. I don't know about cooked bottled celery juice. I've never seen it. But you can get carrots, and you can get celery, you can get wheatgrass, you can get all these things. You can grow them yourself out here in your own greenhouse or out here in your own garden. Bring them in, juice them, and then use that juice for these therapeutics or these treatments. But keep in mind that it's going to be quite a bit. It's not just a cup. It's not just a sprig. You know, oftentimes I'm kind of amazed. People say, well, I tried that parsley, it didn't work. Well, how much parsley did? Well, you know, I've been eating the parsley off of my Denny's steak and egg plate every day. I eat the parsley. Hell, that's not enough parsley on there to wet your whistle. You're going to be buying parsley, you know, by the pound and juicing that stuff. I mean, if you want any use from it. Now, a natural calcium blocker. Now, celery contains a calcium blocker and other plant chemicals that help prevent and treat arrhythmias and other compounds that help lower blood pressure. And they'll lower your cholesterol. Celery is high in apigenin. That's a chemical that expands or dilates the blood vessels and may help prevent high blood pressure. Researchers at the University of Chicago Medical Center. Notice again, I'm going to underline that for you. These are researchers now. These aren't quacks, you know, that are performing abortions over here in a back alley. These are researchers at the University of Chicago Medical Center have found that very small amounts of a compound in celery, it's called 3-N-butyl phylate, can lower blood pressure in animals by 12 to 14% and cholesterol by 7%. The equivalent dose in humans can be supplied by about 4 ribs of celery. After eating a quarter pound of celery every day for a week, a 62-year-old man's blood pressure dropped from 158 over 96 to 118 over 82. All right, let me give you that again. After eating a quarter pound of celery every day for a week. Now, I don't know if you could eat a quarter of a pound of celery. I'll promise you I couldn't. So, to choke this kind of stuff down, and I'm going to use the word choke it down because, you know, I'm the kind of guy that likes York peppermint patties. I mean, I like good taste and stuff, you know, like Italian dry salami and jerky. I like the good stuff. And Brussels sprouts and broccoli doesn't hack it for me. But I'm also smart enough to know that there isn't any nutritive value in the crap that tastes good and I like to eat. So unless I want to get sick and then I have to go out and spend $9,000 a year on health insurance, and I got to do something more intelligent. All right, so here's what you do. You go out here and you get the celery and you make the celery juice. Now what we got to do is kill the taste of it, because this stuff is pretty rank. It's pretty gross tasting. So now you got to do some experiments. I don't know what you like, you know, but, you know, try it this way. Pour a little Jack Daniels in it. You know, take a little wine and stick in it. Or you can take something else. Now, for instance, that wheatgrass. Remember I told you wheatgrass? I mean, you talk about a vile, nasty, gross-tasting stuff. I mean, that wheatgrass is it. But if you stick it into a glass of carrot juice. Now, the carrot juice doesn't taste too bad. Well, at least not to me. See, I can choke that down. Now, some of you people are going to have some problems getting some of this down, especially, you know, if you're addicted to Hershey bars. You know, because Hershey bars and Coca-Cola go down real easy, but, you know, celery juice and carrot juice and wheatgrass juice and these kinds of things, you know, you're going to have some problems with. So you got to figure out, well, what can I put in this? So put a little something in it that kills the taste of it. For instance, I don't like broccoli and I don't like Brussels sprouts, but I do like balsamic vinegar. So when I'm eating vegetables, and the wife, you know, she brings out this broccoli and Swiss chard, and well, I don't mind the Swiss chard so much, spinach, you know, and stuff like that, and I don't care too much for it. I put vinegar on. The vinegar kills the taste. Now you got a pretty good gruel there that you can probably choke down. Now here's the moral to the story. It's cheap and it's effective. And when you go to the doctor, it isn't cheap, and most of the time it is not effective, although some of the time it is. And I want you to notice that in almost all of these cases, maybe not in every case, but almost all of them, these discoveries about these foods, which in the Bible, you know, the Bible doesn't tell you, hey, this thing is just chock full of this or that kind of a chemical. It doesn't even talk about that. It just tells you about the particular food, and somebody ate it and recovered, or somebody did this or that, and then they got over this or that. And I guess God just doesn't care whether you like Brussels sprouts or not. But the vitamins and minerals are in the Brussels sprouts. They're not in the Hershey chocolate bars or the Snickers or the Mars bars. And that's just where reality's at. All right, now listen, there's another real neat plant over here that you probably have heard about. Shucks, you might have even used it. You might even have some in the medicine cabinets called aloe. Now in John 19, verses 38 through 40, a little story comes up here. Joseph of Arimathea came and removed the body of Jesus. He was joined by Nicodemus, who brought with him a mixture of myrrh and aloes. Myrrh, M-Y-R-R-H, myrrh, and aloes, A-L-O-E-S. Where have you heard that name aloes before? Aloe. You ever heard of aloe vera? Aloe vera. It's a plant that grows down in the southwestern United States. I imagine it grows all over the world, but here in the United States, there's big, down in Arizona, New Mexico, got big farms down there that grow this aloe vera. It's a big business. And we buy it here by the gallon. You know, here in our home, we use this stuff by the gallon. And you can buy a gallon here and a gallon there, and it's pretty common stuff. But let me tell you some of the story about it. Not only is it mentioned in the Bible, not only is this an old-timey remedy, but in modern times, see, now we've got the scientific capability of analyzing this plant called aloe vera, and then we've been observing what does it do. Now, this doesn't mean the medical profession's going to use any of it because, you know, this stuff is cheap. I mean, I don't know what the price, $3-$4 a gallon, something like that. Hell, it might be $20 a gallon. I don't know. We got several gallons on the shelves here. And if it's $20 a gallon, it's dirt cheap because you're only taking, you know, an ounce or two at a time when you're drinking it. And you can stick it in something else, you know, and kill the taste of it. Well, anyway, more than half a hundred weight. Now, they took the body of Jesus, they wrapped it in spices and in strips of linen cloth. So they used this aloe to preserve the body. Images of the aloe vera plant, a gift to baby Jesus, later used to anoint his body at burial, have been found carved on Egyptian walls from 4000 BC. The Egyptians believed that aloes had magic healing power and assigned them royal status, second only to the pharaoh. Arab traders introduced the use of aloe to other parts of the world. Jesuit missionaries planted it around settlements in the New World, starting probably in Barbados around 1590. Legend has it that the Indians of both Central America and Mexico were so amazed at this plant's ability to relieve so many ailments, cough, abscess, arthritis, bursitis, cataracts, burning urine, diabetes, genital herpes, gangrene, genital herpes, cramps. Did you get that? Genital herpes? Listen, let me underline that one. You know, you people out there, 25% of you have venereal disease. Did you know that? Yeah, let me repeat that. 25% of you people out there have some sexually transmitted disease. Probably the most common is herpes. Herpes. Now, herpes is curable. Whenever you go to a medical doctor, he says cancer isn't curable, heart disease isn't curable, and herpes isn't curable, you know, but we've got a treatment. No, you got that wrong. They're curable, but not with the drugs and chemicals from allopathic medicine. As we've discussed earlier, allopathic medicine isn't in the business of curing disease. They're in the business of making money. Medicine is business. Medicine is big business. Medicine is primarily business. Medicine is only business. If you happen to be cured, healed, or benefited by medical practice, that's collateral to the central issue and purpose of medicine, and that's to make money. Now, that's the way that game is played. Hang on a second. Let me give you a reminder. We'll be back with more on aloe vera and aloes and how valuable it is and how cheap this stuff is. So let me remind you that you are listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet 7 days a week. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our webpage. It's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, just go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed through the webpage at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. Now, the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are going to reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we use or cite on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily wholly endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about aloe. Well, Jesus, when he died, was put into a tomb. They used myrrh and aloe. Aloe has a beneficial effect in killing bacteria or preventing decay. So they wanted to use it on the body. I underlined the word genital herpes here because there's a whole host and plethora of ailments that people have. such as coughs, abscesses, arthritis, bursitis, cataracts, burning urine, diabetes, genital herpes, gangrene, cramps, stomach pain, intestinal problems, leg ulcers, varicose veins, yeast infections, to name just a few that they called the plant with its long leaves reaching toward heaven. It is called the hand of God. That's the nickname that is given to the aloe vera plant. It's called the hand of God. Now, the word aloe is derived from the Arabic aloe, A-L-L-O-E-H, meaning bitter, shiny substance. Only aloes with aloin, the aloe drug, have actual healing power. There are over 300 kinds of aloe, but only three are readily available that produce the miracle healing juice called aloin, A-L-O-I-N. They are aloe vera, also known as aloe barbadensis, referring to the island of Barbados where it once grew in abundance. This is most widely sold in the United States. Closely related to it is aloe Socotrina, named after the island of Socotra near Yemen. This is the aloe of the New Testament used to embalm Jesus' body. Because of its disagreeable smell, it was mixed with fragrant myrrh when wrapped among the burial cloths. A lot of it was used, as shown by the immense quantity of this mixture, which was bought by Nicodemus, 50 pounds. In Jewish burial, unlike Egyptian burial, bodies were not eviscerated. Therefore, the body of Jesus was left intact. The third major aloe is called aloe ferox, which originated in South Africa, and is also known as Cape aloe. There's also a false aloe, erroneously named, which is not even a member of the aloe family, and it appears throughout the Old Testament, but it actually is only a type of wood, eagle wood, used for incense and perfumery. Now, all of the true aloes have similar characteristics, so that aloe, Socotrina of the New Testament used to embalm Jesus, has much the same qualities as aloe vera, which is grown today throughout Europe and the United States. But number one on the list, aloe vera, actually has more aloin, A-L-O-I-N, aloin in it, about 18 to 25%. Number two, aloe Socotrina, has 7.5 to 10% aloin. And number three is aloe ferox, which has about 4.9% aloin in it. All of these plants have long tapering, spiny edged, fleshy green leaves that exude a mucilaginous sap when it's broken. All of these plants are perennial, in bloom most of the year in warmer climates, less frequently where it's cold. Most aloe vera plants will shrivel up after a few days without water, but aloe vera continues to put out new shoots for up to 7 years without any water. Alexander the Great is said to have conquered the island of Socotra for its large aloe vera crop. His troops reportedly took the plants into battle to heal their wounds. The plant would survive long periods of time without being in the ground. So here's some astonishing facts about this biblical plant. Most people are familiar with aloe's reputation as a healer for the skin, but what is not very commonly known is that aloe vera can be ingested in juice or in capsules. And users claim its all-natural elements regenerate internal tissues and organs in the same way that it regenerates the skin tissue. Taken internally, it is said to have a healing effect on arthritis, ulcers, diabetes, and more. Testimonials on the medical benefits of using aloe juice internally tend to come mostly from the arthritis sufferers who claim greater mobility and relief from pain and swelling. Others report remarkable relief from stomach ulcers and gastrointestinal problems. Some diabetics claim their need for insulin was reduced or eliminated. An aloe vera leaf produces two substances. The first is a yellow or red dish sap called latex. That is a bitter and irritating substance to the lips. This sap is the juice of the plant and is responsible for most of its healing power. The active ingredient, or the active principle that makes it work, is called aloin. The leaf also produces a clear, semi-solid, unpleasant-smelling gel or jelly, which enables the plant to avoid water loss and survive for extremely long periods of time without water in the desert. If the leaf is cut, the gel simply heals over. The gel has been used for centuries to soothe and to heal burns, cuts, and skin irritations, and to soften skin. Studies show that it is the gel that is responsible for aloe's ability to penetrate the skin, allowing the juice to work. Now, maybe you've heard about people with burns, and they have used aloe vera and rubbed on the burns, and it heals the burns. This stuff is good. It's good for burns, and we use it here for that. And you can buy commercial preparations that are made of aloe vera for burns and salves. But you can also buy the stuff in juice, aloe vera juice, in gallon jugs and drink it. Now, in one of his popular newsletters, Dr. Julian Whitaker, M.D. Now, I want to underline that one again, Dr. Julian Whitaker, M.D. Notice that these discoveries, again, are being made by medical doctors. We're not talking about Jesuit priests and quacks and naturopaths and chiropractors and abortionists and back alleys. We're talking about the people who have the MDs, went to the universities and the colleges, and are the prestigious scientists at the Mayo Clinic. I mean, these are the people that you go to and spend your money. Now, if these plants are so good, how come these medical doctors keep burying it? You know, when you go to the doctor and you say, I've got this burn, they don't put aloe vera on you. Let me tell you a little story here. There's other herbs beside aloe vera, but let me tell you a story. Our oldest boy has epilepsy. And we have been totally unable to cure that epilepsy. We don't know what causes it. We don't know how to cure it. We don't know what to do for it. We have for 20 years, we have been taking everything you can think of. Okay? Now, here's a malady that we don't know what to do about. And sometimes things like that come up. So we have to live with it. Now, if you've never seen or never been around an epileptic, it's a pretty shocking experience. They go into seizures. They call these grand mal seizures. And they just stiffen out. And their brain shuts off. They can't remember what happened during the seizure. They don't remember most of what happened leading up to the seizure. They don't remember anything that happened after the seizure. And then when they come back to their senses, why, what happened? You know, what happened? It's like a bad trip on LSD, I guess. Well, anyway, the boy had a seizure while he was cooking macaroni. And he fell into a pot of boiling water. A pot of boiling water. I mean, stuff's boiling. With his head, the side of his face. And it just burned him something terrible. When he came home, he had this, his head was about double its normal size. It was swollen out of all proportion. It was swollen so bad on that side that the eye was closed. I mean, it was so gruesome. It was so ugly. It was so red. The skin was peeling off that it would just gag a maggot. All right. Now, my wife, having been used to these kinds of events from time to time, sat him down, went to work on him, and she started using a number of herbs, including comfrey and aloe vera gel. And so, because he has epilepsy, we were a little bit concerned about the burn inside of his ear, because his ears burn. So we thought, just for a little extra precaution, we took him up to the hospital, went up to St. John's, as I recall, went into the hospital, and they took him into the burn unit, and there was a doctor in there. Now, this stuff that's on his face is this green paste. I mean, it has got to be the ugliest sight you've ever seen in your life. She's got this comfrey and aloe vera gel in a paste smeared all over his face. Well, half of his face, you know, the half that's burned. And this doctor took a look at that, and he said, "Ma'am, what have you got on there?" And she said, "Comfrey and aloe vera." And he said, "You've probably done as much or more than we can do here in the hospital." Now, this is a medical doctor in the burn unit at St. John. Says, "Ma'am, you've probably done as much or more for this boy than we can do here in the burn center." And so we brought him home. It took about 3 weeks to heal up. Now, I thought he was going to be a scarred up mess. Honest to God, because I've got a big scar on my chest where I was burned when I was a kid back in the 40s, you know. They didn't know how to treat burns back in those days. But Comfrey and aloe vera, you can take a look at Dirk today. Any of you students out there that can remember Dirk here at the school, take a look at his face and then tell me, has that face ever been burned? Is there any scars on that kid's face? And the answer is not a one. No burns, no scar tissue, nothing. Now, had he gone through the burn clinic there at St. John's, he would have been grossly scarred, and then he would have to go through plastic surgery in order to fix that. Now, I'm not suggesting that medical science can't take care of burns. They can, and they can't, or that they can't fix the scars because they can. But hey, kids, if you could avoid the scarring, you know, first of all, avoid getting burned. But, you know, if you get burned and you want to avoid the scarring, it's called Comfrey and aloe vera gel. Now, I can just tell you that from my own observations. That kid has no scars. Now, when you take a look at this plant, and you look at the people who have done the research on it, we're not talking about a bunch of Indian quacks, you know, from ancient times, although they've used it for thousands of years. I'm telling you, boys and girls, Dr. Julian Whitaker, MD, tells the story of a 10-year-old boy who was diagnosed with a rare brain tumor. It's called meningioma. Surgeons were unable to remove the entire tumor, and it continued to grow. It was exerting so much pressure that his eyes bulged out, and the prognosis was dismal. Well, a friend suggested that the boy drink aloe vera concentrate, and out of desperation, the parents gave him 8 ounces daily to drink. 90 days later, Dr. Whitaker reports, to the surprise of both her and the other doctors working on the case and the elation of his family, Stephen's tumor was in total remission. Today he's normal, but he continues to drink aloe vera juice every day. And although aloe is available in many forms, in juice, gel, concentrate, capsules, concentrates is the stronger the better, of the whole leaf are your best value, says Dr. Whitaker. 1 or 2 ounces a day of a good product can be used as a maintenance dose, but I would recommend up to 8 ounces a day for acute illness. And he says among the illnesses that he cites are ulcers of long duration and AIDS. Let me underline AIDS for you here. AIDS, AIDS. Aloe juice, also called the aloe drug, exhibits these properties. Number one, it has the ability to kill bacteria, fungi, and viruses. Well, now that's pretty important. AIDS is a virus, and you need something that kills viruses. It has the ability to dilate capillaries, increase blood supply to the area being treated. So when you put this stuff on, this gel on, it dilates the capillaries and brings more blood into the burned or the wound area so that it heals faster. That's the bottom line. Heals faster. When it's applied to injured tissue, the sap or juice penetrates and anesthetizes the tissue, which relieves the pain. It numbs while it heals. It has an anti-inflammatory effect, and it reduces swelling of skin and muscles. It speeds up the healing process and the growth of new cells. Now, many of you are saying, "My God, if that stuff was that good, why aren't the medical doctors using it?" And the answer is because it's so damn cheap. That's the problem. It's cheap. Now let me show you about drugs and government. Remember, over in Afghanistan, they had these nasty guys over there called the Taliban. this Taliban, remember, these are the religious guys, the nutty guys that have their women over there dressed up in these crazy clothes, you know, and they're repressive, and they're nasty, and they're mean and wicked, awful, terrible, and evil people. Taliban. Remember that name? Okay. Well, they came to power after the Afghanis defeated the Russians in the first Afghan-Russian War. Remember that? Back about 1980, when Osama bin Laden went from Saudi Arabia over to Afghanistan. He went over there and he worked with the Taliban and with other groups over there to defeat the Russians. Well, these Taliban guys, because they are so religious, they don't believe in opium and opium poppies, and they don't believe in heroin, and they wanted to eradicate it. So they went to work. I mean, this is Afghanistan. I mean, this isn't the United States of America or Colombia. This is Afghanistan. It's a backward third world country. I mean, this place is so backward over here, I think that it would make Mexico look like a first world industrial giant. But it's a third world backward nation. By the year 2000, they had eradicated or virtually eradicated all of the opium and poppy production in Afghanistan without any war on drugs, without billions and billions of dollars of taxpayer money. They got a little brutal, though. When they found somebody growing the stuff, they killed them. And when they found somebody using it, they killed them. And so pretty soon they didn't have any growers and they didn't have any users. So over in Afghanistan, they abolished the stuff. Now, opium, heroin, is very valuable stuff. It's the stuff that we make here in the United States. We have to have this stuff in our pharmaceutical industry, you know, to make morphine, things like that. Morphine is the clinical name or the drug name for heroin. On the street we call it heroin. In the hospital we call it morphine. So the United States goes over there in 2001 or two, and we threw the Taliban out. Threw them out. And we took over there, and then we installed a new government over there. And this year, in 2006, opium poppy production is at historic highs in Afghanistan today. The crop year 2006 is going to be the biggest opium, heroin, morphine, poppy crop in the history of Afghanistan under American occupation in just 3 years. I just thought I'd share that with you. Now, it just kind of goes to show you, if you want to eliminate the illegal drug trafficking that goes on in the United States, get rid of this congressional operation called the War on Drugs and get rid of the drug czar and bring over the Taliban and put them in, because they've already done it. See, they already eliminated illegal drug production in Afghanistan. I think those guys are pretty good. You bring those Taliban guys over and you put them in down there in Colombia, and I'll bet you in about 3 to 5 years there will be no illegal drugs, no more cocaine coming out of Colombia. And they'll do away with it here in the United States. Now, it won't be very kind, and it won't be very gentle, but there won't be any more drugs in America under the Taliban. Now, that's why we don't have them over here, because we could not stand that kind of effective use of force that would solve that problem. And that's because we're really not serious about solving that problem. And people are not serious about solving their medical problems either. So I don't come on the air here thinking that, oh my God, I'm gonna convert America and they're all gonna start drinking celery tea and celery seed tea and they're all gonna heal their afflictions. But people write me letters constantly and they say, oh my God, if this stuff is so cheap and so effective, why isn't it being used? It's very simple. It's money. Now, the reason we threw the Taliban out is because Afghanistan is one of the best areas in the world for growing these heroin poppies. And so when the Taliban threw all of the drugs out, we had to throw the Taliban out so that we could get the drugs back in. You see, in Iraq, we're after the oil. in Afghanistan were after the heroin. I mean, that's American foreign policy. And all you got to do, you know, if you want regime change in North Korea, put in heroin. Go find a big oil pool up there, and by God, we'll go over there to North Korea and give those people regime change and democracy. We will export democracy and regime change to any place on planet Earth that's got oil or heroin. Oil and heroin. Those are the two biggies. Now we're talking about aloe and aloe vera. This is a drug. It's a plant. It's an herb. And it goes clear back into biblical times. Hell, it goes clear back into Egyptian times. It has been revered. It's a folk medicine. It's dirt cheap. It just works like a shot. I told you about my own boy and our own experience here. The kid was burned so bad that he should have scars on top of scars on top of scars on the left side of his face. He does not have a single scar. None. Zero. Zilch. You would never know. If I told you that kid had been burned in a pot of boiling water, you'd call me a liar. Just looking at him. Alright. So there's my report. There's, you know, I'm one of the guys that can come in here and give you my testimonial. And I don't have the experience on every one of these in every single case, but this book is filled with all kinds of testimonials from people that this author has taken the time to call and to go see and to look at, or who has gotten affidavits and he's documented. I mean, he's got a well-documented book from people, just like Rene Cassie did, that were healed. Now, I suppose you could say, well, you know, it just happened that way. Old Dirk, you know, he just happened to heal up without scars. Kids, let me tell you, when you get burned, you heal up, you have scars. Burns cause scars. I was burned. I've got scars. Now, I suspect that in 1940 when I got burned, if I had had aloe vera, I probably wouldn't have any scars. That would be my guess. Now, one researcher claims that aloe vera works because it contains at least 6 antiseptic agents. And he lists them here. Lupiol, salicylic acid, urea, nitrogen, cinnamonic acid, phenol, and sulfur that eliminate many internal and external infections. And he says the first two of these, plus magnesium, are highly effective analgesics, which makes aloe a good painkiller. 3, anti-inflammatory fatty acids, cholesterol, campesterol, and B-citerostol, which make aloe soothing to the stomach, small intestine, colon, liver, kidney, and pancreas, and help heal rheumatoid arthritis, fever, ulcers, and allergies. What do you think of that? And it explains why, for thousands of years, aloes have helped heal and cure a monumental list of human ailments and deserves to be called the medicine plant. But by God, we're not going to use that here, not in allopathic medicine, not in the United States of America, because it's too cheap and it doesn't make the kind of profits that are made when you have serious burns. You take them to the hospital and you give them conventional treatment. It's a tragedy, but that's the way it goes. But you don't have to be left outside, unable to get this kind of miracle cure. It's available. And don't forget the guy's name now. It's Reese Dubin, R-E-E-S-E, Dubin, D-U-B-I-N, and it's called Miracle Food Cures from the Bible, published by Prentice Hall. Hey, we're about out of time. I got to remind you that you're listening to, or you have been listening to, the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about us at the law school, then go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. All right, we got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing. Of course, until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and good night, friends.